This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The state of California has joined more than a dozen others in filing a lawsuit this week against the federal government over President Trump's decision to phase out the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program. California is home to the largest proportion of DACA recipients in the nation, more than a quarter of the 800,000 undocumented immigrant youths who had registered with the program live in the state. Studies estimate that the typical DACA recipient is a resident of Los Angeles and was brought to the U.S. from Mexico at age 6. Now, as the state moves to protect its DACA recipients from being targeted by the Trump administration, some are hoping that a bill in the state's Senate might make California a sanctuary state. Activists are pushing to pass SB 54 into law. And on Thursday, a number of folks, including my guest, gathered in Sacramento for a rally supporting the bill. Seth Hernandez Ronquillo is a Soros Youth Activist Fellow and video campaign organizer with the National Day Laborer Organizing Network. Welcome to the program, Seth.
Thanks so much for having me.
So before we get into SB 54, let's talk about DACA and California in particular. I mentioned California is disproportionately impacted. How have elected officials responded to the Trump decision to end DACA? Are you heartened by the support? California Attorney General Javier Becerra has been extremely outspoken.
Yeah, as you said, about a quarter of the DACA recipients in the country live in California, and there's definitely been a lot of support for undocumented immigrants and for DACA recipients in particular in the state. I think recently and during this political times that we live in, California has shown to be a leader in showing the country where to go in supporting immigrants. And I think that the lawsuit that you're mentioning is one of the ways that California is supporting and leading the way. And the bill that you were mentioning, SB 54, is another way that that California is leading the way for the country in protecting immigrants and protecting all immigrants from the threat of deportation.
And on the issue of DACA, Donald Trump just on Thursday morning sent yet more mixed signals about DACA. Now he tweeted, "For all those, in brackets, DACA, that are concerned about your status during the six-month period," this is the six-month phase out of DACA, Trump said, quote, "You have nothing to worry about. No action!" Exclamation point. What do you make of this?
I think at the same day, they also I saw an article also where there was a note from the White House saying how undocumented youth, particularly DACA recipients, should be thinking about self-deporting or something along those lines. So definitely getting a lot of mixed messages from the administration. And I think as a community, and particularly DACA recipients, have received a lot of sympathy from different sectors of the American population. And I think as DACA recipients, because of the sympathy, we also need to be vigilant, right, of how we are receiving support from different kinds of policymakers. And I think it's important that we realize that we're not bargaining chips in this political game, and that we should be conscious on, you know, not using this moment to be taken advantage of, but really standing up as a community together as immigrants and not throwing anyone under the bus, whether they're different kinds of immigrants, you know, who have different backgrounds, and that we should be standing together as a community.
Yeah. And I want to follow up on what you said about this idea that the government wants young people registered with DACA to self-deport, a document that was circulated that was part of White House talking points was shared with the media, and it said the Department of Homeland Security urges DACA recipients to use the time remaining on their work authorizations to prepare for and arrange their departure from the United States, including proactively seeking travel documentation or apply for other immigration benefits for which they may be eligible. I mean, honestly, if a DACA recipient was eligible for any other immigration benefits, they probably would have done so already, right?
Yeah, I think, there's definitely a lot of fear, right, that is felt by the undocumented immigrant community. I myself, was a DACA recipient, and I think in the community that I live in, we definitely sense a lot of fear, a lot of hopelessness, and I think it's important that we acknowledge, these feelings, but at the same time, we need to find ways to really turn this anger, this frustration, this sadness into power as a community. Before DACA existed, undocumented immigrants have lived their lives, and found ways to thrive in spite of our immigration status. To this day, there's, as you said, only 800,000 people in this country have DACA. So there's all these other millions of undocumented immigrants that are finding ways to survive and to thrive in this country in spite of DACA. So there are definitely ways for us, to go past this and continue to resist this administration, to survive as undocumented immigrants and to thrive in spite of the situation we're living in. So, for example, in California, there's policies that would allow undocumented young people to go through college, through the California Dream Act, so that's a resource that allows undocumented young people to be able to qualify for in-state financial aid, and scholarships if they attend a public university.
Right, and
There's also driver's license for undocumented immigrants.
it's legal for undocumented folks in California to get driver's licenses too. So those
Exactly,
are certain
right,
ways.
yeah. So there's definitely ways for us to thrive, in spite of the situation that we're living in. And how do we find and cling on to that hope, right, as a community and turn this moment from frustration, anger, sadness into power?
And it's very important, I think you're right, to admit the fact that those who are registered with DACA are just a small portion of the vast communities of undocumented folks in the country. Among them is a man by the name of Romulo Avelica, who I understand was just released from ICE custody and joined you in Sacramento in pushing for SB 54, which we'll get to in just a minute. But let's talk about Romulo's case. This was a father who was one of the early sort of casualties of the Trump escalation against immigrant communities through ICE. Tell us a little bit about his story and what it was that got him out of an ICE detention center.
Right. So Romulo Avelica was taken by ICE as he was dropping off his kids to school, and it really shows, the rogue ways in which immigration enforcement and sheriffs, and local police enforcement, are separating immigrant families and parents, undocumented parents, from their children. And I think it's important to highlight, that after Romulo was taken, and detained in Adelanto Detention Center, his family, garnered support from the community, and collectively we organized to get Romulo out of detention. If it wasn't for the community organizing together, Romulo could have easily been deported that same day that he was taken. But because of the collective power that the community has shown, we can organize to fight deportations. And before Romulo, even under the Obama years, our community have already been working together, organizing against deportation, stopping deportation buses, putting our bodies on the line so that we can stop these deportations. And I think, as the Trump administration ramps up, in enforcement and deportation, we're gonna continue to revive these tactics, strategize in new ways, so that we can stop the deportation and separation of immigrants from their loved ones.
Let's talk about SB 54 and what it would actually do. We've heard of the term sanctuary cities. It's not a universal term because it means slightly different things in different places. But in general, the idea of a sanctuary city is one where a local police department is not required to coordinate with federal immigration agents, meaning anybody that they might arrest or pick up doesn't have their status, legal status, automatically turned over. There's no cooperation. What does a sanctuary state mean as per SB 54?
Yeah, so SB 54, as I mentioned earlier, would limit the collaboration and prevent the collaboration between federal immigration enforcement, ICE, and local law enforcement, and really, block Trump's racist deportation agenda. And I think, for us in the community, we really want the bill to come out and, of this legislative process in the strongest form possible. There's a lot of there's opposition. The main opposition for the bill is from the California sheriffs, and we're really resisting so that the bill can come out and be as inclusive as possible. I think for us in the immigrant community and migrant justice organizing community, we really want to make sure that the bill is not throwing anyone under the bus. This country, through policies, throughout the years have criminalized us, So while the Trump administration is saying, we're only going to deport criminals, quote unquote criminals, whatever that means, right? At the same time, there's also these policies that are actively criminalizing all immigrants. So, how what does that mean, right? For immigrants, and I think at the same time, we also need to remember, that, supposedly this country, stands for second chances, Trump gave, this opportunity for second chances to Joe Arpaio, right, by giving him this pardon. But, the very immigrants that Joe Arpaio imprisoned, and detained, are they getting their second chance? We can't even get a first chance, much less a second chance. So I think it's important that we really not throw anyone under the bus, by having a watered down policy, but making this bill as strong as possible so that all immigrants are protected.
So, is SB 54 adequate enough, or is it still in the process of being amended? Aura Bogado, writing in The Intercept, says that Governor Jerry Brown is attempting to amend SB 54 in such a way that it leaves open loopholes for cooperation between federal immigration agents and law enforcement.
Right. As I said, there's definitely some strong opposition, particularly from the sheriffs of California against SB 54. But at the same time, there's also a lot of support for the strongest bill possible. That's why we're coming together as a community so that we can tell, our policymakers, that we want the strongest bill possible, and that no one is really, there's no loopholes, as you're saying, that would not protect immigrants, regardless of whomever they are.
It's interesting how conservatives talk about states' rights to no end, except when those issues actually go against their beliefs. I mean, California wants to protect its undocumented population, and the federal government sends its agents to round people up, detain them, and deport them. Trump has attempted and has talked about cutting off federal funding for a variety of programs to California if a bill like SB 54 were to pass. Is that a threat that could impact this bill's chances?
Yeah, so the SB 54 is called the California Values Act, and I think for us, and undocumented immigrants and the immigrant community of the state have really shown courage, through the ways that we're living our lives in spite of the circumstances that we're facing. We're continuing to resist, and in that way, we're showing, courage, so that our community, in spite of the situations we're living in, can continue to survive and to thrive. And I think in that same way, we want to make sure that, policymakers are also, being courageous and standing up for California values and for the values of our community. Sometimes I think there's this fear, right, for them, that they might lose votes, if they vote a certain way. Is that really the extent in which we want to advocate for policies and, pass laws that would impact California? So I think by showing the courage, that immigrants have, I hope that policymakers, and I think it's really our hope as a community that they would emulate, the courage, that our immigrant community has shown.
And in fact, we should remember it wasn't President Obama that gifted undocumented youth DACA.
Exactly.
It was the incredible, relentless organizing by dreamers around the country, outing themselves to the public, to the media, blocking streets, organizing sit-ins in the offices of elected officials that forced Obama's hand. hand, and now we're seeing that same kind of rising up around the country to try to save DACA, also here in California, to try to push for SB 54. You were at a rally in Sacramento on Thursday pushing for SB 54's passage. Tell us about that rally and how people have been coming out and how the announcement of DACA's end might actually revitalize the movement for SB 54.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that you shared. You know, when Trump, when Jeff Sessions or and Trump, you know, really made that announcement to end DACA. You know, former President Obama made a statement, you know, about how it's cruel to, you know, end DACA and things like that. And I think it's important for us to remember that, you know, DACA did not happen out of the kindness of President Obama's heart. You know, he deported the most immigrants, you know, to in history, and you know, he got this nickname, you know, deporter in chief, because really, you know, there are many ways in which he has really criminalized and hurt the immigrant community. So, like you said, you know, it's really the organizing and mobilizing of undocumented immigrant youth and immigrants across the country that got us a victory like DACA. You know, but I think it's also important to realize that, you know, sometimes our community, you know, could get comfortable, you know, with policies like DACA, you know, and really remembering that we need to stand together as a community. We need to continue to mobilize, you know, after whatever victory that we get, you know, and really make sure that everyone is included. And I think in the same way, you know, the California Values Act, SB 54, is one of those ways that we want to make sure that it's not just certain people that are deemed worthy who gets to qualify for a policy like this, you know, but really everyone is included in a strong, inclusive bill that would protect the livelihoods and the ability of all immigrants to thrive in the state.
Finally, Seth, you mentioned that you've been a DACA recipient yourself. Can you tell us your story? I think it's so important for us to humanize what undocumented folks are going through, who they are, what their backgrounds are. They're all around us. They're part of our communities. Tell us about you.
Yeah. So like I mentioned, I was a DACA recipient. And I think for me, coming into this country originally from the Philippines, I think it's important for us to recognize how the immigrant community come from, you know, different backgrounds. You know, I think the media often portrays DACA recipients, you know, in a particular way as Latinx and, you know, Spanish speaking, you know, which I think is important, you know, because Latinx communities are really targeted by the Trump administration's policies, you know, but at the same time, we want to make sure to uplift the different experiences that are in the immigrant community. So in the Filipino community where I come from, I think it's important for us to really, you know, show that you're not alone. You know, I think that's one of the things that we often feel as undocumented immigrants, you know, that sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes you don't know who to reach out to because we're afraid, right? And I think, you know, that fear sometimes prevents us from really, you know, getting out of this moment and really finding our power collectively. And I think, you know, through organizing and really telling our stories as a community, that's how we get victories, you know, like DACA, you know, and but also remembering that our community, you know, should not be divided up into like who's worthy and who's not worthy, you know,
right.
And really making sure that all immigrants, you know, that we're not being seen as these you know, children who were brought here through no fault of our own by parents, right? As it makes it sound like we've been kidnapped by our
right.
parents.
So, yeah,
right?
There's this division, like the good immigrants, the bad immigrants,
exactly.
The ones worth saving and protecting and the ones that should simply be gotten rid of. Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's important, you know, for us to realize, you know, that whatever, you know, there's these next 6 months, you know, they're going to try to push for a policy, you know, federally, you know, some kind of immigration reform or whatever they want to call it, you know, but at the same time, who is being thrown under the bus by these bills, you know, that are being introduced, you know, and how are we as a community, DACA recipients in particular, going to stand together with the rest of the immigrant community so that, you know, no one is being thrown under the bus, you know, if it's like all of us are nuns sometimes, you know,
yeah.
I feel like it's hard to really thrive for a po with a policy that benefits you, but at the same time your parents are excluded. The rest of your family is excluded because they're deemed as unworthy by the system that continues to criminalize us. So I think it's up for us really to stand together as a community in solidarity with the rest of the immigrant community, so that we can have policies that could protect us and allow us to thrive as a community.
Well said. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck to you. I'm assuming Endelon's website is the best place to get more information, endelon.org?
Endelon.org.
We'll post a link to that from our site. Thanks so much, Seth.
Thanks so much, Sonali.
My guest is Seth Hernandez-Ronquillo, Soros Youth Activist Fellow and Video Campaign Organizer with the National Day Laborer Organizing Network, or NDLON. We've been discussing how California is disproportionately impacted by DACA's end and how the state is fighting to protect all undocumented folks through the California Values Act. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.